Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
If you'd open your Bible up to Romans chapter 12, we're going to read from there in a minute. You might want to mark it also in Luke chapter 10. This will be the last Wednesday night that I tell you we're still in our series, Life in the Spirit. This is, on my record, this is session number 20. So 20 studies over the last, I think about 6-7 months. And I think we could go on, but I feel like it's time to bring this to a close. There's so much more that could be said, but I believe we've kind of hit all of the main topics. So the title tonight is Go in the Power of the Holy Spirit. Go in the Power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you to look at Romans chapter 12 with me, and we're going to read that, then we're going to go right to Luke chapter 10, and then we're going to move through this evening. So Father, we love your word, and we love the hope that we find in your word and the truth that's there. And thank you, Lord, for what it's going to speak to us tonight about this plan of yours to fill your people with the Holy Spirit. You've made us alive in your Spirit, Lord. And now I just pray that we would have this constant hunger to be being filled by your Spirit, empowered for what you want us to do. Because you've got things for us to do, Lord, that we can only do by the power of your Spirit. So Lord, may our hearts be open tonight, and as we pray for one another, and as we open to your plan for us, Lord, thank you for salvation in Jesus. Thank you for the power that comes through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You might want to hold your place there in Romans chapter 12, because we're going to look back in just a little bit to Romans 11. But verses 1 and 2 says this: I beseech you, means I beg you, or I urge you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I love the translations that say your reasonable service of worship. And then it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Back to Luke chapter 10. Jesus is sending out 70 of his disciples in 35 groups of two. And so they're going to go all over the place, two by two, to all the cities where he was about to go, but they would be the forerunners. And listen to what he tells them to do as they prepare the way for him. In verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others, that the 12 had been sent out in six teams prior to that. He appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. If you got verse 3 there, read it out loud with me. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Oh, great. Oh, great. Lord, you're sending us out as lambs among wolves. What do you know about lambs and wolves? Which one eats which one? The wolves eat the lambs, right? The lambs are not a threat to the wolves. But in God's kingdom, the lambs are the ones that end up being victorious, filled with the Spirit of God, ready to touch a world for him. So that's our agenda, and that's our mission. Now, I've given you just about everything I know so far on the Holy Spirit. It might not be exhaustive, but for some of you, it's probably been exhausting, probably, as we've stayed in this for, like I said, 6 to 7 months. And now, what do we do with all of that information? What do we do with 20 weeks worth of studies and notes in our Bible? And by the way, I hope you have more than filled notebooks with all kinds of notes and scripture references. I hope we're beginning to realize that this promise of the dynamic resident power, the resident power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for apostles. It's not just for prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries and authors. I pray that you have a growing hunger to truly be filled with and led by and operating with and used by and empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk in and with the Holy Spirit every single day. I hope it's not just been an academic exercise. I really pray that something in you has awakened to say, I want that. I want to live that life day after day, filled with your Spirit, led by your Spirit, prompted by your Spirit to talk to that person, pray for that person, at least say hi to that person, that neighbor that you haven't said anything to. And they've been living there, you know, not long, just 25 years, and you've really never had a conversation with them. At least say hi and be pleasant. And who knows what that might do as you pass on love and mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. So I pray that we have this growing hunger. But tonight we're going to wrap up this theme of life in the Spirit. And it's always a scary thing, I think, for a preacher when you come to the end of a study, whether it's a book study, and maybe even especially a topical study where you really feel like we need to focus on this theme for a while. Marriages. And family, and you know, how to study the Bible. And you just hope that everybody is wanting to engage in that now. And so for 20 weeks, we've been looking at this invitation to a relationship with the Holy Spirit that goes deeper than him just being sort of a quiet spirit sitting in the corner of our hearts. But the one who's in control, and he has the reins, he's got the steering wheel. And he's got the control of both the brake and the gas pedal. And we're letting him steer this ship so that we can make a difference in this world for him. So tonight we're wrapping up. But let me just ask you a few questions. And no need to answer them out loud, by the way. These are just questions. You don't have to shout it out. But have you asked the Father to fill you with the Spirit and to empower you with and by the Holy Spirit? And secondly, are you making a conscious, willful surrender of the leadership of your life to the Holy Spirit? I forgot I had him up here on the screen. And third one, are you responding to those daily opportunities every single day? Can I see the hands of those who love Jesus? Every single day, he's not going to waste what he's put in you. He's going to put somebody in your path. So are you responding to those daily opportunities God puts before you to touch those around you for him? And it's not like you got to tract every, you know what I mean by tracting somebody? I mean, you got to, you know, 50 tracts and you're going to get rid of them today, one day or another, one way or another. And it's not that everybody needs to get tracted by you, but the ones that he highlights. And you know how he does that. But are we touching people in his name? The fourth question is, are you determined to give all the glory to God for all that he does through you? And when someone is like that, God's always ready to give a humble servant more to do for him if he gets all the glory for it. So God's plan for your life, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. The Bible says this about the gifts of God. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The old King James says they're without repentance. It means the same thing. God's not going to take it back. To the child of God that he gives a gift to, the gifts and the calling of God, they're irrevocable. It's a gift that's been given, and may we always engage in those things that God's called us to do. God always knew what he had for you and me to do. He knew what he wanted me to do long before I discovered it. Long before that night in 1971, probably, early 1971, and I was walking down the street on Juanipero. Am I pronouncing it in a suitable way for you? How many say Junipero? How many say Juanipero? We always said it Juanipero. That was a Long Beach way to say it. I'm just sorry if I got it wrong. Juanipero, but whatever it is. And I'm just walking in something like this. I don't know much, but I'm preaching out loud. There's nobody there, but I'm just preaching out loud, and may you know the love of God for you, his son Jesus. He was put on the cross for you. May you know that. And I came to this one spot on that sidewalk because I was just about up to 3rd Street. And I felt so strongly the Spirit of God speak to my heart and said, this is what I've called you to do with your life. This is it. Walk around and talk to myself for the rest of my life. Like, people are going to say things, Lord, when they see me. I knew what he meant. I knew my calling from that point on. I had no idea how it would be packaged. I didn't even put any boundaries on how he wanted to do that. I just knew that he wanted me to speak to people for him. And I didn't know that it would lead to a typical pastor of a church, but I'm thrilled with what God has allowed me to do. He always knew what he wanted me to do, and I'm so thankful that he made it clear. There's a calling on our lives. How many of you understand there's a calling on your life to serve God, not just to know him and believe in him, but to serve him, your life and my life. And there are gifts that God has given you and me. And some of us have the same gifts. I love the way that Paul talked about it as we studied in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, not everybody with the same gift is going to operate in the same way. It's not, if you got a gift of teaching, preaching, singing, and not everybody's gift is going to look exactly like the other person that has the same gift, because we're unique. But he's given us certain callings and gifts and the opportunities God has arranged for us every day for you and for me. They're there, and he hasn't changed his mind on any of those. They're irrevocable, the plans that he has for us. So tonight, it's time for, I think, a commissioning and a deployment, maybe a fresh deployment with fresh expectations on what God might want to do through you and through me together as we live here in the same bundle of zip codes in Southern California. So tonight, I believe that's where we're heading. It's time for an invasion of our cities and our state. How many of you believe that? I wish there were more that believe that, but it's time for an invasion of this city and this broken state. It's time for an invasion of our nation and our world and our homes and our neighborhoods and our parks and our workplaces and the jails and the prisons and the beaches and the malls and the campsites and the hotels where you're going to be staying this summer on your vacation. And your vacation is going to become even as much of a vocation for you, a calling. Where God's going to move you, you're not going to believe who's going to be in the room next door making a racket at night. And you're thinking, you're going to be so tempted to call the front desk and tell them, can you ask them? But then you might, but you're not going to believe what God sets up for you, where he takes you, even on your summer vacations. He's in charge of that. Isn't that wonderful to know? He's never off the job. And it's never been more critical in all those areas, never been more critical than it is right now for God's people to show up in public, in the workplaces, and in our neighborhoods. I know what some of you are thinking. See, some of you know what your gifts are. Some of you have been operating on those gifts for a long time. You know what God has called you to do, and he might surprise you and give you something else as well. But some of you are still wondering, well, what is my gift? I'm not as sure as you are, Bill. I didn't have that walk down 3rd Street and Junipero in Long Beach. I didn't hear voices, but boy, it was unmistakable to my heart. And maybe you haven't had that, but let me tell you where you're going to most likely truly come to understand both your gifts and your calling. It's going to happen in the field. It's going to happen in the act of serving Jesus and loving people. Because as a follower of Jesus, you have compassion for people. As a follower of Jesus, you don't just drive by hurting people or homeless people or empty people or angry people. As a follower of Jesus, oh, I know we've all still got that human side of us that has things to say about that. But as a true lover of Jesus, something of his heart for those people ends up in you and me. I watched Joy as we were pulling out of two parking places. We were side by side. We were heading home last night, and we were both hungry. We decided, let's not cook. Let's go over to Chipotle. And so we went over to Chipotle and parked beside one another. And as we were leaving, homeless man walked by us, and he just walked kind of back and forth like three or four times, and he kept walking towards the front of the building, and I just watched Joy noticing him, and I knew what was happening in the front seat of her car. There were tears that were rolling down her cheeks for that man, and she was praying for that man, and that's where it starts. And sometimes it goes further than that, doesn't it? A lot of times it goes further than that. And she didn't know which way I turned, that I didn't follow her to go home. I went a different way because God had told me to do a different thing that night. When I saw that man, it reminded me of a couple of other people who are our neighbors right here. And that's just what Jesus' people will do as they're in service for him. It's going to happen in the field where we discover what our gifts are. It's going to be just in the normal order of our day. It'll happen out there in the act of serving Jesus and being among people. It will happen as we step out. And turn to Luke chapter 12, if you would. Did I tell you, Luke, something else? I know I told you to hold on to Romans, but in Luke chapter 12, listen to this. We went over this in on Sunday mornings when we were talking about Stephen and where in the world he got the time to study for that sermon that he preached that day that ended up with his life being taken from him. It was a powerful sermon that he preached. But in verse 11, Jesus reminded his disciples, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, don't worry about how or what you should answer. Don't worry about how you should answer or what words you should answer with or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So what's he saying? You're going to be out in the community. You're going to be out in the city. And in Stephen's case, you're about to die, Stephen. And on that day, don't worry about what you're going to say before your accusers. Jesus said, it'll be given to you by the Holy Spirit right when you need it. And whoo, did he give it to him. And it dropped conviction into one young man's heart, Saul, who we're going to talk about this weekend. That was fulfilled over and over again in the early days of the church that was on the move at that point in Acts chapter 2. That's what happened. They had no idea, you know, how the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And what the manifestation of that would be, and how will we know when that happens? Oh, did they know on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down? It happened to Peter as he preached on the day of Pentecost. And again, where did he ever get the time to put that message together? But whoo, it was powerful. It happened in Acts 8, verse 29. The Spirit said, go catch up to that chariot. Isn't that an amazing story that we talked about this last week? He said, go catch up to that chariot. Run. Run, boy, run. And I'm wondering why the Holy Spirit didn't just give the chariot a flat tire and make it stop so Philip didn't have to run so far. But he had to run to catch up to it. And the Holy Spirit said, go run. And it said, and so he did that. And I love this. When he gets there, and the guy sees what's going on, and the guy is reading the scripture. And that conversation starts. That was so set up by the Holy Spirit. Philip had no idea what was about to happen that day. As the conversation progressed, the eunuch asked for help. What? Can you help me understand this? And Bethany, I was sitting by Bethany as Jeff was preaching this last weekend. That's my daughter, Bethany, by the way. Did you know that? That Bethany is my daughter and Jeff is my son-in-law. For the two of you that didn't know that, now you know that here. But Bethany pointed out, she said, it's like, this is one of the keys to witnessing. It said, Philip opened his mouth. You can't witness to people if you don't open your mouth to them. And it says, he opened his mouth and he preached Jesus to him. And the man gets saved. So that's what I mean. That's how it happens. You open your mouth and God meets you in that intersection and he gives you what you need at that moment. And you don't have to fret about it. I'm not saying you don't prepare yourself by studying the word and being in prayer, being a person of worship. But that's how it happens. And of course, our pastors study. Did you know that our pastors study? They study the Bible. They drink a lot of coffee too, but they also study their Bible. And they're serious about studying their Bible and doing what they do well. But God will often give a word of knowledge. He'll oftentimes give a revelation or an insight right on the spot. You didn't even see that. It happens to me so many times as I'm teaching and I've studied and I've put together my notes and because listen, you don't want me to speak without notes. I wander all over the place if I don't have the tracks before me. Jeff can do it. It blows me away how he can have that little round table over here with his notes up there, but he spends most of his time right here and he's right on track. I don't know how the man has a brain like that. He didn't do as many dumb things to his brain that I did back in the 60s. I think that's what happened. But it was interesting. I think it was yesterday morning, I was driving home and Alistair Begg was on the radio. And it was great. I love listening to Alistair Begg. I just like listening to his accent. I told a friend of his, Philip DeCourcy. You guys ever heard Philip DeCourcy on K-Wave as well? And he's a great preacher and he comes from Ireland and I told him he didn't think it was as funny as I thought it was, but I said, Philip, I could listen to you teach heresy and I would really enjoy it just because of your voice, your accent. He didn't appreciate that. But Alistair Begg was preaching on the radio yesterday and there was something he said and it was recorded in the message, obviously. And he said, you know, and he speaks and he said, I didn't think about that until just right now. I've been reading that passage for so long and I didn't think about that until right this moment. And so many times God will give you insight on the spot while you're doing what he called you to do and it'll all make sense. I think I put this up here. Maybe I didn't. I'll just read it to you. It's kind of a metaphor in Psalm 81, verse 11. I'm a little fuzzy on whether it's literally speaking about open your mouth so I can fill it with words, or if he's speaking to hungry people that said, just open your mouth and I'll feed you with food. But he says, if you open your mouth wide, I'll fill it. And then the next verse said, but people didn't listen to the words that were coming out. And sometimes that's the truth. It'll happen. But it's like God saying, if you just open your mouth like Philip did, I'll fill it. Be ready to speak for me and I'll do some. So what I'm saying is this. We don't order our gifts and our callings and our ministries mail order. We don't order them online. They're not delivered on Amazon trucks that park in the middle of our streets, blocking traffic both ways, bright lights so I can barely get around. I don't know why. I don't know. That's just, I'm unburdening my burdens with you right now. But I don't pass on my gifts to my kids. God delivers a gift to my kids. The gifts and the callings of God come straight from God to you and to me. It's not why I want that gift, so God, I'm going to contend for that gift. I want to be a miracle worker. I can't tell you how many people have wanted to be a miracle worker. Some of them for the right reason, so they can help hurting people. Some of them so they can line up and be the next to, bow down before the miracle worker and make a big deal out of themselves. And that's, I don't think God is ever going to anoint that kind of a thing. It's all from God. Everything comes from him. He chooses what gifts we have, and we're going to pray tonight, and I don't know what God's going to give you, but the most important thing is that you're ready to receive from him. And you won't necessarily find out what that is tonight, but as you engage with the Lord in a devotional life, and as you walk into a world and you say every day, God, I'm ready to serve you today. I'm open for your business today. That was another Jerry Cook phrase that I got years and years ago. The Love, Acceptance, Forgiveness book that Jeff spoke about this weekend. I'll never forget that. And I thought, oh, Lord, I love that. I'm just open for your business, God. I'm alive today, so you must have a plan for me. And you say, God, now take me into the world and use me for you. We typically discover our gifts in a very significant way as we step out and speak up, as we reach out, and as we rise up to serve him. Have you found that to be true? Things you had no idea it was coming, but if you were to do the journal of your life, those would be the high points, wouldn't they? Where God lets you do something for him. But what does come before that moment is a significant point of surrender. A surrender to the will of God for our lives. That moment when I come to an invisible altar and I say, Lord, I surrender all. The chair you're sitting in right now could be that altar. It could be kneeling down beside your bed. It could be, you know, coming up to the front and kneeling down on this really hard concrete. It could be anywhere. It could be standing up. It could be driving your car. But it's a point where you make a significant surrender. And what do you say at that point of surrender? What's a typical thing you say to God at an altar moment in your life? Anyone?
I surrender.
I surrender. What else?
Forgive
me, yeah.
I give it all to you.
Use me.
Use me.
Teach me.
Send me. Not my will, but yours be done. That's what happens at an altar. And all, you know, the first altars we see in the Bible were stacks of rocks. Just stacks of rocks. Where will, the human will, was laid down before God. And some man or some woman said, I surrender all to you, God. All. And I mean it this time. My life is your life. And I got to tell you, oh, I can still hear this phrase from Damien Kyle. How many of you remember Damien Kyle? He used to preach on, you know what time his program was? It's our time slot. When they pulled off the radio on K-Wave back in 2009, I got a call from Pastor Chuck, and he said, would you like to go on the 4:30 slot? And I thought, whoa, to fill in Damien Kyle's slot. He was just such a great preacher. And I remember his phrase that was, he repeated this over and over, there is no better life than the life that is lived in surrender to the will of God. That's an altar moment. At altar moments, you know what they do? They alter your future. They change the course of your life. And so tonight, for some of us, it might be an altar moment where we say, I surrender all. And maybe we linger at that altar. It might be minutes. It might be moments. It might be hours. If it's hours, it will probably be someplace else besides in here. And especially if it's days. There are altar seasons in my life where I've just found myself in a time in my life where God was changing a trajectory in my life. And it was days of just, not so much wrestling with it, but just dealing with it. Okay, life is going to be different. And I give my life, Lord, to you and to your will. So we linger sometimes, which means that altar is a mobile altar. It's where we walk with the Lord and we continue to pour out our hearts to God and surrender to Him, and we begin to readjust our life for this new life, this altered life, living with Him. And we've just handed the title deed of our life over to Him again. How many of you have ever done that more than once? I give it to you again, Lord. I give you the title deed to my life. I give you all of me. And you realize maybe you didn't give it all because this little compartment here needs to belong to Him too. But you've handed over the title deed of your life to Abba, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit for that wonderful invasion of our lives. And then we watch for the obvious setups in our life. It will always come down to people. The Spirit-filled life and the way God wants to use us, it always comes down to reaching people, comforting people, bringing healing to people, deliverance to people. It is always people. And it always will come to another person. And today for me, actually it was yesterday that it started. I have this route that I walk some mornings, and I walked up this one way in the park, and I think it was out by the, in between the ball fields at the Huntington Central Park. And I saw this guy that was digging, you know, recyclables out of the trash can. And I just said, hi, you know, as I walked by. And he looked up at me and he said, hi, man. And I love the way he said, hi, man. And there was kind of a real quick connection between us. And when he looked up at me, and he had a big long beard, and I thought, that dude looks like Dave Crowder. And he really looked like David Crowder. How many of you know David Crowder? You like David Crowder? And so anyway, I just said hi and I walked on by. Well, I saw him again today. And I stopped again. I said, hey, how you doing? He said, hey, I'm good, man. How you doing? And I said, hey, what's your name? He said, Marcus. He said, you look like a guy named David Crowder. He said, oh, do I? I said, all right, thank you. And I just went on. And I finished my walk and I got back to my truck. And I saw that he was moving to another part of the park close to where I was. And I felt like, I want to take a step closer. I want to get to know this guy a little bit. And I didn't have a whole lot of time, but I pulled over my truck and I pulled up on my phone David Crowder, images of David Crowder. And I said, hey, this is the guy that I said you look like. He said, oh, what's he do? I said, well, he's a singer. He said, is he good? And we just had a neat little meeting. And I got his name and he got my name. And that's going to go further. I know with all of my heart that's going to go further. Now, maybe he's already listening to David Crowder tonight. I don't know. And I don't know if he's homeless or not. But he's a recycler. And I just believe that there's a friendship there. And God has some plan for that. And by the way, you'll find yourselves there again and again and again. Like I said, I have revisited that altar so many times when God moved Joy and I all over the world in different places. Now, when he said, it's time to leave Long Beach, for me, we weren't married, but it's time to leave Long Beach and go to Sky Valley. And that was an altar moment for me. And then Joy and I got married about 6 months after that, And then years later, it's time to leave Sky Valley. It's time to move to Australia. Who does that? Well, God said go. And I remember coming home one day and telling Joy, I believe God's calling us to serve him in Australia. I didn't know that it meant move there, but it became very obvious later that it would mean that. And I remember Joy's response was something like, oh, okay. And then eventually God did move us. After the first trip, it was pretty clear that he wanted us to live there. And then 3.5 years later, God said, okay, now leave Australia, go to Albuquerque. Made that one abundantly clear. I'll tell you this little story. I've told this before. If you've been here for a while, you've heard this one. This is story number 127B. We were about 6 months away from moving back from Australia. We knew we had to because our visas were running out. And we were doing dishes this one night. And it's the one house we lived in, nicest house we lived in over there, and it didn't have a dishwasher except for Joy and I. So this one night, she was probably washing and I was drying, and she said, what do you want to do? What do we feel like God's called us to do when we go back to the States? I said, I don't know where he's taking us. Nothing's open yet, but I know he's called me to pastor. Whether that's pastoring traditional congregation or just pastoring people, you know, mentoring people for Jesus. I want to continue to write music and sing. I want to keep leading worship as God opens those doors. I want to stay involved in missions somehow. And I'd like to do a little bit of traveling to encourage people for missions. And so there was my laundry list. And we prayed about it and went to bed that night. And phone call the next morning. It was a Friday night that we prayed, and then Saturday morning, a call from Skip Heitzig out in Albuquerque. He said, hey, Bill, I want to ask you to pray about something, about coming on staff here at Calvary Albuquerque. I want you to lead the school of ministry out here. He said, it's kind of like pastoring a small church. I said, oh, okay. And he said, and I'd love to have you, you know, lead some worship here as well as one of our rotating worship leaders when there's a need. I said, oh, well, that's interesting. And then he said, there was something else that he said. And he said, I want you to do a little bit of traveling to promote the school of ministry. And there was something else and I'd be overseeing the missions ministry of the church. And it was just like, I did everything but say, did you bug our house last night? How did you know that? But God made it really clear. Leave Australia, go back to Albuquerque. And I won't go into the long story, but in 97, the Lord made it very clear, leave Albuquerque and come to Huntington Beach and pastor this church called Calvary Chapel of Huntington Beach. And so you're going to find yourself at an altar over and over again where you just say, okay, Lord, not my, get used to saying that. Say it with me, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. Not Bill, but Lord. Get used to saying that and get happy about saying that and trust him. So tonight I want to pray for all those who want to present your life to God as a living sacrifice to him, to his perfect and complete will for your life. And I agree with Damien Kyle, there would be no more exciting life to live. Not always easy, but no greater life than the life that's lived in surrender to his will. Now, make it clear, I don't distribute the gifts. When a preacher, a pastor, a brother, a sister lays hands on somebody else in agreement with what they're asking God to do, they're not the ones conveying the gift. It's God that always does that. And by the way, he knows what each of us can handle, doesn't he? I mean, like I said about everybody that would love to have a gift of healing. He knows who can handle a gift of healing or a gift of miracles without taking the glory to themselves. And God knows who can speak a word of prophecy without getting puffed up or starting a multinational, multi-layered corporation with them as the king of it, but retaining that humility. And he knows who can operate in evangelism and pastoring and teaching without building a personal franchise out of it, but doing it all for the glory of God. I think the keys The keys to all God-honoring ministry, if you want to jot these down, it's you got to be alive. You got to have that new life in Jesus. And you approach all of it with humility and with integrity. Because you damage anything that God has called you to do if you don't do it with integrity and purity. You do it with courage. There'll be times where you'll be trembling. But you know God called you to do this. I was asked to do some music at it wasn't an outreach. It was an RVers powwow out in Cathedral City, Palm Springs area. And a guy who put it together, it wasn't all Christians, but they had some bands up there, and he said, hey, Bill, why don't you go up and do some of your music? And all my music was Jesus music. He said, why don't you go up and do some Jesus music up there? Awesome opportunity to reach some of these people. And so I can't remember his first name, but he sent me up to the stage with all these guys that were getting filled with Bud Light while everybody was still drinking Bud Light back then and whatever else they were drinking. And as soon as I said Jesus in one of my songs, this guy came running from the back with a beer bottle in his hand, holding it up like it was a hatchet. And he was coming after me and yelling at me to shut up and not that nicely though. And there was somebody right down in the front of the stage that turned around and stopped the guy and said, hey, give the dude a chance. Whew, was I glad that angel showed up that night. But you got to have courage to serve him. Daily prayer reading and study, daily Bible reading and study, daily prayer, vibrant praise, and then true worship, which isn't about music. True worship is daily surrender. Worship involves an altar where something dies, my will. And those are the keys to any kind of just a God-honoring ministry. Whatever God calls you to do, whether you need a business card to announce it to people or not. Most ministry doesn't need a business card. It just needs an open heart. So we come to those very big final questions tonight before we pray. And I'm going to have Jesse come on back out, and we're going to worship a little bit as well and praise God some more. But before we do that, a couple of questions. Are we really ready to walk into those opportunities? Yep. Are you ready for that? Yep. Yeah. Yep. Are you willing to utilize the gifts God's already given you? Yep. As he maybe gives you more. He'll give you a gift that matches the need. Am I ready? Are we ready to use the gifts that God has given us to touch other people's lives? And have we set aside any and all, don't be quick to answer this one, but have we set aside any and all allegiance to sin that would cripple us or even just slow us down in pursuing that call? And let God search our hearts on that. If there's anything in me, in us, in you, and I, that God puts his finger on and says, it's about time. It's time to give that to me. And trust me. You don't have to live that way, talk that way, respond that way any longer. And if there's something that we know in our lives that just doesn't belong in the life of a follower of Jesus, tonight you lay that on the altar. And let God burn up the hold that that might have on you. Last week I said it will change us from the inside out as the Spirit comes upon us. Instead of Saul, he became a different man, and you'll become a different man. You'll become a different woman. As you live your life for Jesus now with this expectation every day, Spirit of God, you're in me. And you can talk to him, by the way. I know some people are a little fuzzy on, can you talk to the Holy Spirit? Why not? He talks to you. Of course you can talk to the Spirit of God, the Son of God, and Father God. But it'll change you from the inside out. You'll become a different person. And this is a different kind of transformation. It's a transformation of the Spirit. And it's a transference of the Spirit of God into you. It's a transference of his power into you. And that transformation requires a very serious transaction. And that transaction is the laying down of my will to respond to his will. Day after day. For the rest of my life. I always tell people, try it out for 20 years and see how it goes. And after 20 years, I think you'll probably want to re-up for 20 more. And just keep being used by God. It is such a thrilling thing where I lay down my will and I submit my plans and my agenda to him. It was David Taylor. I looked up when I shared this with you. It was 7 weeks ago. Where David Taylor, I love this quote from him. Believers walking in the power of the Holy Spirit are God's means of reaching a world that does not know him. How many of you want to be a part of that? I want to pray for you tonight, if that's you. In Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. I'm going to read this to you. You don't have to turn there with me, but you're going to love this. In Zechariah 4, it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain like a desert, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace and grace. The obstacle that was in the way, Zerubbabel, he said, it's not by might, it's not by human might, it's not by human power, it's by the Spirit of God. And you step into that, and you find yourself being used by God as you love people in his name and speak the truth to him and all that stuff that you're digging out of the word while you're daily in it. You know, if something pops in your heart when you're reading your Psalms or you're reading your way through the Gospel of Luke or you're there in the Old Testament prophets, you're even in Numbers, which is just a book full of numbers of people, and something will pop. You mark it. Remember where it is. If it hits your heart in a strong way, trust me, God's going to require you to give that to somebody else most likely. It's going to breathe life to them too. And so you're going to find as we continue through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings and Saturday night, you know what it is? All the book of Acts really is. It's just a record of a Spirit-filled church touching a world for Jesus. God leading this guy to run down to Gaza, then telling him, why don't you take a walk up to Caesarea now? He walks them all over the place, and people get saved and helped and healed and strengthened all along the way. Not just apostles doing it, but Christians like you filled with love and filled with truth and filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask any of you tonight that are ready to ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit in a very powerful and maybe a fresh way, I want to ask you just to stand up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you and ask God just to pour out His Spirit over you. Can I ask you to do something? I wasn't planning this. This wasn't kind of trying to trick you into something. But can I ask you that are standing and really want that fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God upon your life, can I ask you to come forward and just stand in a group down here? Because you know, this should be easy. You're standing in church. He's going to ask you to step out there, and it might. This is practice for that. But I want to ask God to pour out His Spirit over you and upon you. But I'm going to give you a moment. Well, Jesse's going to lead us in a song, but I'm going to ask you that are standing here. That's a whole lot of voices we're lifting out of the choir right now. But while that song is being sung right now, I want to ask you just right where you are in a prayer that doesn't need to be any louder than just a whispered prayer to make that altar statement that you need to make to God. God, I'm giving you this. God, I'm ready. God, I want to be filled. Maybe it's a confession of something. Sin you need to confess to God. Say, God, I'm done with that. Please, please set me free of that. Okay, let's just take a little while this song is being sung. And you just pray first, and then I'm going to pray over you. And I'm praying as well. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Jesus said on the last day, the great day of the feast, He stood and He cried out, if anyone is thirsty, come to Me and drink. And this is what He said about this right here. And he who believes in Me, I think 99% of the people that are here, I can't say that because there's not 100 people, that would be a half a person, but I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, there's somebody here tonight that needs Jesus, and you haven't come to Him yet. Can I just tell you what to say to Him? Just say, Jesus, I need You. Say to Him, Jesus, thank You for dying for my sins on the cross. Give Him your life and let Him save you. Let Him save you. But He's saying this to you that are followers of Jesus, hungry to be filled with His Spirit. He said, if anyone thirsts, come to Me and drink. And he who believes in Me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And this He spoke about the Spirit whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Spirit wasn't yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He's been glorified. And now he's ready to fill you in a fresh way with His Spirit. So Father God, I just pray over my brothers and sisters that are standing here. Lord, I pray this would be the moment that they just receive that from You, Lord. A fresh outpouring, a fresh flow of Your Spirit like we want every single day, God. Just receiving it from You, Lord. And God, would You distribute the gifts of Your Spirit to those that are standing right here, God, the gifts that they need to serve You, Lord, the gifts that You listed in Your word, a word of wisdom to one, a word of knowledge to another. Lord, You've given somebody the gift of faith and somebody the gift of healing to carry to a sick person or a needy person, and gift of miracles that will just take the impossible and blow it away. And those that are going to speak words of prophecy for You and discerning of spirits, and those that You will give the gift of speaking in other tongues and understanding those tongues. And You're calling some to be teachers and pastors and leaders, Lord, disciplers and mentors of others. So, Father, I just pray that Your Spirit would settle down upon every hungry heart here tonight, Lord, every single hungry heart. Now just take a moment and tell them, Lord, I receive. Tell them, I just receive from You, Lord. I just receive Your Spirit. I receive the gifts You want me to have. A deeper understanding in Your word, Lord. Oh, Father, just pour out Your Spirit. Thank You, Father. And reach out Your hand and put it on somebody's shoulder in front of you and pray for somebody that's near you right now. And just ask God to refresh them and to bless them and a powerful dynamic flow of His Spirit upon them too. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Oh, Father God, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh. Spirit of God, we welcome you. We welcome you, Lord, in our fellowship. We welcome you in our midst, Lord. Not by might, not by our power, not by our cleverness, not by our planning, Lord. Nothing is going to bring down the mountains that need to crumble except your Spirit. Oh, God, do it. Do it among us. Yes. Yes, Lord. Father, we pray that you would bring down that evil band of terrorists, Lord, that are just determined to stir up really the fires of hell, or the terror of hell. Lord, would you unplug that? Would you dismantle that terror cell, Lord, in Jesus' name?
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.